Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Patrick, you look really terrible. Have you been under a lot of stress?
Yeah, Jim. Wingtip Sloat has decided to add a lead vocalist, and we've auditioned over 400 singers so far without finding one that fits our style.
Oh, man. That sounds awful. What are you going to do?
Well, we may just have the Bish take over vocals.
Do you think he can sing and play drums at the same time?
I called him yesterday and left a message asking him that very question.
And?
No reply at all.
Okay, Patrick, I want to fill you in on what's going on here.
Okay.
This is a little bit of
an... Is this an intervention?
It's a little bit of an ambush, yeah. Yeah, a little bit here. So there was a week where you were on vacation,
mm-hmm.
and we just continued to do the show.
Yeah, well, it's what you have to do.
You know? Mm-hmm. And what we did under such circumstances is I had a couple of guest hosts come in, and I said, what do you guys want to talk about? And they said, is Patrick around? And I said, no, he's off out somewhere in like Wisconsin or something. And they go, oh, okay, so let's talk about this one band. And so we did that, and we had a week of episodes, and we got like a ton of feedback on it. And people seem to like it, I guess. And we're going to go through that feedback right now. And now you're here for this.
Oh, great
episode!
Yeah,
right?
Excited. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I heard about those episodes. Those were the ones that were like the most popular of the whole month that I wasn't on.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Well,
I don't know about that.
Hmm.
I think the episodes more recently that feature Shadow have become...
Oh, that's right. More popular.
Yeah, the dog is definitely the star of the show. That is for sure. Okay, so this show is called Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us on today's episode are...
Kevin Goff.
And...
Rob Gates.
Okay, and thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
For being on. And when you guys were on before, we talked about Genesis, right?
We did.
And I'm just going to kind of go through a lot of the feedback that we got about about those episodes, and you guys can respond. I don't know if you may have seen some of this stuff on social media and so on, but there are quite a few here. They're all pretty short, so I'm just going to kind of run through them, all right?
Okay. Sounds good.
Go for it.
But before we do that, two quick things. One is we have a live event coming up.
Yes, we do.
March 4th, mm-hmm. Wednesday, March 4th at Jam and Java in Vienna, Virginia, which
That's
is
right.
a cool venue.
Mm-hmm.
The name makes it sound like it's a coffee bar. It's not really.
It's
a regular bar with live music venue, a stage, all that kind of stuff. It's like actually kind of too nice for us. But
That's right. Yeah.
But if you're in the DC area, come on out. We're going to be talking about The Who. We're going to be counting down great songs. We're going to do some other fun things. We're going to, I think, have some trivia and some giveaways and some other special guest we're working on.
Will we smash our laptops at the end?
No doubt. Yeah. Absolutely. So come on out Wednesday, March 4th at Jam and Java. Get tickets at jamandjava.com or suburbspod.com. All right?
It's going to be a lot of fun. Get on the show when you come out. That'll be the big thing. You can get your voice and participate.
You guys are big Who fans.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes. In fact, I submitted my top 10.
Fantastic. We've been getting quite a few submissions on that already. It's really, really good. So
my list is started, but not done.
Yeah, same here.
I don't know if mine's ever going to be finished. It's so hard to narrow it down. Yeah. It really is, man.
Yeah. And you have the Ox on your list?
It was on my original list.
Was it really?
400 that I narrowed down to like 200, which is where I am now. So,
okay. And then the other thing I want to do before we get into the fan mail is open up this package that a listener sent. What's in the package?
It is from Trip Bacon in Beaverton, Oregon. And I want to say thanks to Kevin, who went through like a 10-minute struggle to open this box. So,
he taped it very well.
Well done, Trip. I love a good solid package. We know that there was nothing going to go wrong with that. It's like there's a note here. Kevin, if you want to dig into that, see what you can find. I'm hoping there's some beer in there. But we'll see. It looks beer packaged, doesn't it?
Packaged in some magazines.
Okay.
I think that matters.
Jim and Patrick, greetings again from the suburbs of Portland, Oregon. I am a little late in sending out this care package, but hope the 2020 music year is treating you right so far. Here's what's included. One, copies of my 2019 mix CD in both CD and cassette form. Nice.
Ooh.
The tapes contain extra tracks, so consider it an extended version of my favorite songs from the past year. I included an extra disc for intern Sam if he happens to be hanging around the RTS world headquarters at the time the box is open. Number two, cassette tapes from a couple of ska bands that you guys might be familiar with, Mustard Plug and the Pie Tasters. Okay.
Yep.
I have been a huge fan of both bands for a long time, but Mustard Plug has a special connection with me and the pod.
Ah.
After my buddy and I saw Mustard Plug here in Portland a couple years ago, he sent me the link to the interview that you guys did with them for the old show.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Jasper actually did that.
That's right. Jasper Colt.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was my introduction to your podcast, and I've been a regular listener ever since. That's great. Great connection there. And number three, finally, it wouldn't be an RTS care package if I didn't at least try to send you something to drink during a marathon recording session. You'll find a small bottle of my favorite locally distilled whiskey,
ooh,
Westward Whiskey. Drink,
wow.
Share with any of the normal cast of characters and enjoy. Thanks again for creating not only a great podcast, but a community of like-minded music fans. I promise it'll keep on listening. Rock on, Trip Bacon. Thank you so much, Trip. Very thoughtful, and can't wait to dig into the mixtape. We've got Kevin Hart at work once again.
So we just recorded an episode with intern Mary, and she was talking about capturing sound effects, right?
That's
right. So here you go.
Yeah.
There we go.
There it is. Well packaged. Woo! Westward Whiskey.
And it did make it in one piece.
Yeah,
so that's
we did. And
we've critical.
Got the whiskey expert over here in Rob, so he can give it a look. Ooh, look at that mix CD. That's beautiful.
Looks good.
Yeah, it looks great.
Get a picture of that.
Yep.
Yeah.
That
okay. There you go.
I like the cover with the album covers. That's beautiful.
This is an American single malt whiskey from Oregon. We will give that a try. Not today. Is that all right, guys?
It's a little early.
But I will save that for when we get together again, okay?
I'm interested in that one because it probably uses the same water that most of the Portland area uses, which is from the Bull Run watershed.
Okay.
And it's a very pure water. It comes down from Mount Hood.
Oh, all right.
Which is why a lot of the beer that's brewed out there is also very good.
Oh, hell, let's crack it open.
Just kidding. All right. Now. Okay, let's get to Genesis. I'm going to start here with Mike Snyder. Made a comment. He said, great discussions on the episodes, Jim, Kevin, and Rob. I saw Genesis in 1984 in Kansas City and the reunion tour in 2007 in D.C. and was front row for Phil Collins' first solo tour in 1983 in Kansas City. And I love to put Home by the Sea and Second Home by the Sea back to back.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
The only way to listen. The only way to listen to
them. I think that was discussed that week, too.
Yes. Yeah.
And then Mike Wagner says, Genesis is a band that has earned its criticism for sure. However, there are some wonderful gems in their catalog. Ripples on a Trick of the Tail is one of my favorite songs.
Yeah.
I don't think we talked about that song.
That's a good live one, too. I think they actually even put that on their the last live album they did for that reunion tour. But yeah, Ripples, agree, 100%.
Okay.
Angels never know it's time to close the book and gracefully decline. All the songs found a tame. My, what a jealous pool is she. And the face in the water looks up and she shakes her head as if to say that the blue girls have all gone away. Hey. The ripples, they never come back.
And then Brian Morris responded to that by saying, Trick of the Tail is such an incredible album. That's where I would have newbies to the old Genesis start. He says, great ballads, Ripples and Tangled, and great rockers, Volcano, etc. Such a great album. Is that where you would have people start, Kevin?
I risk, because that was recorded so long ago, I risk contradicting myself.
I can't remember what we said then either. I don't know if
I can't remember.
I don't know if we gave that specific advice, like start with this album.
But you're starting in the... somewhat in the middle, right?
Yeah. If you were saying like the Peter Gabriel Genesis, like yeah. Where should I start? What would be a good album to listen to first?
Me personally, if I've never heard them before, I'd go with Lamb, but
Lamb, yeah.
Patrick has nothing to add to this, dude.
In My Eyes, where I begin. Say Anything. I start with that.
Okay.
Yeah. The boombox.
Nick Scalera says, I was a huge fan of Peter Gabriel's first four solo albums and then went backward to the prog rock Genesis to explore. In the mid 80s, the Gabriel Collins divide was pretty sharp and verged on the ideological. Mm. If you were into music, you were forced to take a stand one way or another. I can't say I knew anyone who was into both equally. I spent a lot of time trashing Collins back in those days and do have some regrets, but I was not wrong.
I'm not sure I agree 100% with all of that. I do think there definitely was a divide, but I don't think that you could like both. And I think we actually did discuss that as well, is that I started in the middle sort of Genesis in general because of the drums. I was a big fan of Phil Collins and his drumming. And had no problem with him moving up to sing. He's got a good voice. Mm-hmm. And the songs and the styles have evolved, but I would say they maintain the essence of Genesis throughout their entire career. If you really listen, like if you only listen to the radio Genesis, then yeah, I could see the divide being a bigger issue there.
Yeah.
Well, I like the point you had brought up though during the show, which was that because of that split, we then had two branches of music, you know, both of them great.
Yes.
Right.
Now, were the Peter Gabriel solo albums up until the So album big sellers, or they just, there were, or I don't know if they didn't sell as many as Phil Collins records, right? He was selling copies.
You worked in the record store.
Yeah, I don't, that's what I was going to ask, because I don't remember selling a lot of Peter Gabriel until So came out, when that really right. kind of exploded. And I remember the ones sort of with a similar design, the earlier ones, but they seemed like back catalog stuff that every now and then, you know, somebody would pick out of the bin and buy, but it wasn't, you know, like on the racks or, you know, a steady seller. But it seemed like Phil Collins had a lot of albums that sold pretty well. Face Value being, I think, the big explosion for him.
But he was after the hits, I think.
That's right.
I don't think Peter Gabriel was seeking that, but you had like Shock the Monkey and even before So, that I'd say he got some airplay, some radio airplay. But throughout his solo, and we talked about this a little bit that week, you know, he also still had members of Genesis come in and record with him.
Yeah.
Phil Collins plays on a lot of those albums. Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, Peter Gabriel before So was not a big
commercial
Collins,
right?
Certainly
right.
not,
right?
But did all right, you know.
Salisbury Hill,
That was always on the radio. DC 101,
If you go
Games
by,
Without Frontiers,
that's true.
Yeah, that's a great song. If you go by the discography on Wikipedia, which whoever puts these things together, I think actually does a really good job of getting the chart positions
and sourced,
certifications right. So I think this is probably accurate. But according to this, before So, he had four solo albums. They were all called Peter Gabriel, right? But they had like a different cover, and people know them as different terms now, right?
Melting.
But anyway, only two of those went gold in the U.S.
Okay,
the numbers 3 and 4, Melt and Security.
Okay.
And the highest chart position for any of them was the third one. It went to number 22 in the U.S.
Okay.
It was number 1 in the U.K., by the way. So apparently was having big success in the U.K. as well. And then So went 5 times platinum.
Right. It blew up, man. Yeah. Yeah. He was a pop force that year. 85?
86.
86. Okay.
Yep. Okay. Let me get back to the correspondence here.
Sledgehammer.
And those videos were influential videos, man. They really were. He used a lot of interesting techniques on those.
Yep. Barrett Reese says, The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway is a masterpiece. I think most people just remember the mostly horrible final years of Genesis in the 80s. Yet Peter Gabriel and Steve Hackett were incredible talents. The group truly suffered from lack of direction after their departures. I don't know. I don't know about lack of direction. I think they had a pretty clear direction after that. It just maybe wasn't the direction that some fans wanted.
Earlier fans wanted, yeah.
Kevin continues to point out, you know, during their live shows, they still brought back a lot of the prog rock stuff. So it wasn't completely abandoned. And on the albums, too, there were always a track or two thrown in for the older fans. Mm.
And I had no issue with Phil Collins singing Peter Gabriel songs.
Interesting.
Like, I couldn't tell. Like, I actually think some of them improved on live, In the Cage being one, which was actually on, I think it was on Lamb. Yes. Rob's my fact checker here. So.
Yes.
He's our Wikipedia. Yeah.
I don't have it in front of me, but I'm pretty sure that's.
Okay. BJ Bonin commented. He says, I personally draw the line at Abacab. Anything after that doesn't hold up as well. Kevin is showing his Abacab t-shirt. Mm-hmm. He's got, is that concert purchased? Okay.
Nope, much later. Okay. Given to me by a friend.
All right. Yep. Anyway, so BJ draws a line at Abacab. He said, everything before that is musically interesting, if not amazing. The older material, Abacab being the divider, is complex and dynamic, filled with mixed meters, colorful chords, and unconstrained by length. People into short, emotional songs hate this stuff. At the same time, pop gems such as I Know What I Like from Selling England are reviled by prog fans.
Well, let me ask this important question. What the hell does BJ Bonin know about anything? No, just kidding. Although he might be onto something there. Mm-hmm. You like short emotional songs. I love short emotional songs.
Yeah, I do recall reading that the I Know What I Like did present some problems for the folks that were purist Genesis fans, but I don't think that it really differed from all that much when you really compare it to everything else on the album. But
yeah,
it's an interesting comment.
So we know that, you know, BJ really like knows like music theory he and does. Stuff like yeah. that. He goes on to say in this comment that the song "Dance on a Volcano" is, he said it's good stuff. It has meter mixing, including 11/16 time.
Well, if anybody knows, that's BJ.
So 11 beats per measure. That's what that means, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's crazy. Okay. I can barely count that high. Yeah. That's all right. Okay.
Stop doing it right. Better stop doing it right.
Brian Morse, who had that other comment before, says, amazing albums all the way until Duke, and then spotty after that. Foxtrot to Duke is pretty much one masterpiece after another. Is that sort of the high point period?
I agree with that. Their commercial success came mostly after Duke. But I think Duke actually started it. You look at Misunderstanding being on that album and Turn It On Again. But
Turn It On Again, that's the one I was trying to think of, yeah.
But, you know, I think masterpiece from Foxtrot on all the way through.
Yeah. I think you can extend that through to Abacab.
Yeah.
Like BJ says. But I do agree with BJ going back that after Abacab, it's, you know, then it's just commercial and not as good.
And then the Three Sides Live right after Abacab is where maybe I would draw the line. That's kind of when we were planning for the week. We kind of broke it up in that,
right.
That not only just, you know, singer and that kind of thing, but like the change in their musical sort of direction.
Okay. Here's a comment from someone Rob and I know and used to work with, Tom Bashir. He says, Genesis should have called it quits after Wind and Wuthering. In other words, after Steve Hackett left.
Mm.
Instead, they became a pop band with a few prog touches. But then he says, I did like Phil Collins' first solo album a lot, as it retained some Genesis weirdness. A couple of its cuts wouldn't have been out of place on one of the early Peter Gabriel records. I don't know. That first one was called FaceTime?
Face Value.
Oh, yeah.
I'd have to listen to it again. It's been a long time, but I can't even remember which one has In the Air Tonight. That must be the one. But weirdness?
I think it does, yeah. I think you're right.
I do know that he would cover Genesis songs on it, too, like Blood on the Rooftops, I think, was a song that he did in both. And then he did retain some of the weirdness, maybe trying to change it a little bit with horns. He liked to use the horns, and he couldn't really bring that back to Genesis as easily, I don't think. But he did. They did.
Yeah.
Patrick, you'll appreciate this.
Okay.
Jeff Rozier said, Peter Gabriel also went on and founded a great world music label.
He did. Right. Yeah, he did. And was instrumental in kind of bringing a lot of world music to wider attention, which I think was really important. And that's a really good point.
Yeah. It's called Real World Records.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
WOMAD is what it, yeah, I think the whole right. thing. Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Here's a funny one from Mike Coley. Says, my town was infatuated with all eras of Genesis. Pretty sure they were elected favorite band in the yearbook every year in junior high and high school, except for the year Grandmaster Flash and the Furious 5 won.
Nice.
And then he says, Follow You, Follow Me was the prom theme many times.
Oh, so, really? Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Ken Cole says, for my ears, the Abacab album was the best Genesis ever sounded from front to back perspective. This was them mastering their sound pre-pop superstardom, still enough prog to be just outside the mainstream.
Hmm. Yeah, there's some weirdness on that Abacab album. Who Done It? odd tunes, but yeah.
Dodo's on that album too, right?
Dodo, yeah. Lurker.
Yep.
Yeah.
Lurker, yep. Yep.
Okay, and then I'm going to end with this here. I'm going to try to call it this YouTube clip. There's a link from Barrett Reese, and he says, honestly, Ray Wilson, the replacement for Phil, sounds very much like Peter. Did we discuss that?
I think it was... We definitely discussed Ray Wilson. I don't know if we made that correlation, but let's hear it.
There is lambs wool under my naked feet. The wool is soft and warm. It gives off some kind of heat. A salamander. The skies into flame to be destroyed. Imaginary creatures are trapped in birth and celluloid. The fleas cling to the golden fleece, hoping they'll find peace. Each sudden gesture. I caught in celluloid. There's no hiding in memory. There's no room to avoid. The crawlers cover the floor, and the red ochre covers.
second sight of people. They've more lifeblood than before. They're moving in time to a heavy wooden door, where the needle's eye is winking and closing on the poor.
The combat crawlers heed their call.
All right, I was trying to get to the guitar in this song. That's Carpet Crawlers. Because that's this YouTube clip is not actually from a Genesis show. It's from a Steve Hackett show that Ray Wilson was singing.
Really?
Was doing vocals. Yeah, it's at Royal Albert Hall, but it's actually a Steve Hackett.
Wow.
I've seen Steve Hackett.
Concert.
I went to one of those shows at Lincoln Theater in D.C., and it was amazing. And I don't know that Ray Wilson was singing it, but if you hadn't told me that was from like early 70s, Peter Gabriel, I probably wouldn't have recognized it. It was disturbingly so... almost that you wonder if they were just trying to create a tribute band to themselves or something. I mean, why they didn't tour.
It has that same kind of breathiness that Peter Gabriel's
raspy,
voice has. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the accent.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He would sing with an accent. Right. All right. Patrick has nothing to say.
I'm not sure about this Steve Wilson character. Was he
Ray Wilson?
Ray Wilson. Okay.
Explain.
Oh, one album. Okay.
He did one album with them after Phil Collins left.
Oh, okay.
The reunion. Mm. They did one album with Ray Wilson, was all ready to do a world tour, and then canceled it.
Oh, really?
Out of the blue, and it didn't go over well.
Because of poor ticket sales, that's why the tour was canceled. Wow,
interesting.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thanks for the comments. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for everyone who commented on that.
Yep.
Wonderful. The shows went over really well. So, yeah, thank you guys very much for doing that.
So you didn't have to.
Well, when Jim goes on vacation later this year.
Yep.
All right.
I shall have my revenge.
What doesn't Jim like?
Oh, I think I know what band you're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Do you already have that?
Oh, yeah, I do.
I think I know what it is.
Yep.
You're not going to reveal it yet.
Four letters in their name.
Yeah, you guys can talk off mic. Maybe you want to be involved in it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, so. I'm going to have to round up a group. It's going to be fun.
There you go. So that'll be in April.
Yes.
I'm going to be out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Very far. I want to get
far enough away that I'll be okay.
From this as possible. All right. Thanks a lot, guys. If anyone would like to contact the show about any topic that we discuss ever, you can call 612-440-1984.
Yes.
Very good. We didn't hear any calls this time, but that is a preferred method of correspondence, because then we can hear your voice. So you just call and leave a message there.
Yeah, and also I figured out it's a way you can call in sick to the show, because I called in sick there the other day. So now if I don't feel like recording, I'm just going to call and leave my message there.
Yes. That is true. And then if you'd rather email, you can email rock@suburbspod.com. You can even attach a voice recording in the email. Some people do that. Or you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, @suburbspod is the handle, as they say, for all of those. Okay. Thanks very much, guys.
Thanks, guys.
It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
I'm Rob Gates.
Kevin Goff.
All right. And we'll talk to you all later.
They auditioned.
Oh, they did.
Somewhere like 400 people, I read. And They just said, well, excuse me, why don't you move to the front?
Yeah. Wow.
Genesis Idol, where you can try narrowed out
it down just to Phil. Phil's the only guy left.